Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to start, because I have a lot of scriptures we're going to look at, but I want to leave you with a picture, and then later we'll get back to this picture. Amen? We'll get back to this picture. I like two people. I think AJ, you and your husband, can you come? I want to just leave a picture with you. I pray at the end of all this teaching, you will go home with something practical that will change your level and of enforcing the kingdom of God. Amen. You see these two people here? They are husband and wife, isn't it? This is the husband, this is the wife. The reason I call the two of them is I want you to just imagine for a moment, okay, they are wearing the same thing. It's black, black, huh? Red, red, huh? Okay. So they look alike from their clothes, their uniform. But she's a man, she's a woman, he's a man. Huh? Okay. So using them as an illustration, just an illustration. Let's say two of them, what they are wearing is a police uniform. It's a police uniform. Amen? So both of them are police officers based on their outlook. Now, let's say he is legally certified, licensed police officer, and is wearing this uniform. So that's why I said that using two of them. The man here is legally licensed. He's gone to the police school, he's a police officer, and has his uniform. Now, she has not gone, she's not a police officer, but she's wearing a police uniform. So both of them are wearing police uniform, okay? But he is really a police legal officer. Now, if somebody runs the traffic light and two of them are together, somebody runs the traffic light, this is a traffic light, people are moving, somebody, which of these two do you think will act on the situation, will have the confidence to act? Both of them are wearing police uniform. Who will act on the situation? Okay, he will act on the situation, huh? So let's say I'm the one that ran the traffic light. All right, I've broken the law. So I'm legally have broken the law. Now, if two of them come to me, I'm the one that have broken the law. If he comes to me, you come to me, and he shows me his badge, and he asks me, I should give you my ID and all the things that the police ask you. I've broken the law. So when this man comes and shows me his badge, what happens to me? I'm shaking. I'm trembling. I've lost my composure. I've legally broken the law. So legally, he has authority over me. He has a badge, and he shows me the badge, and I know he has power over me. So his uniform is wearing his uniform. So now I come under his authority. And he now gives me a ticket. And by law, I take the ticket. I deserve it. I'm under his law, under his authority. You can go back. All right. Now, what if I run the light? I'm legally, by law, I've broken the law. I'm in disobedience. You come. She's wearing a police uniform. She's wearing a uniform. But she has no badge. She's not licensed. She's not legally authorized to question me. I'm lawless now. I'm legally lawless. So she asked me to show my why did I break? So now, what if I tell, who are you? Show me, why do you have the right? What? She has nothing to show. Isn't it? I'm not afraid of her. She has no legal right over me. She too is breaking the law. Amen. She's claiming to be foolish, she's not. So if I have power, I'll beat her up, isn't it? Because two of us are breaking the law, and I have more power than her. Now you can sit down. So you come back. Demon said, I know this man. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. And what do you say about her? Okay, you can go sit down. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to have that in mind about legal authority. The man had authority. Legally. She had no authority, even though she has a uniform. Amen? So, a lot of us have church uniform, but we need to know who we are. Amen? It's not saying I'm a Christian, I come to church. The purpose of this meeting is for us to understand that legal place of authority. Amen? Hallelujah. So, let's begin this way. I want us to open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Remember the subject we are learning, God is training us, it's thy will be done on the after you the kingdom come. Let's open to Matthew chapter 9. Hallelujah. I've read a lot of what has been said a lot about the kingdom, so we can go into this. Matthew chapter 9, I will read this and I will read a few more scriptures. Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 8, let's read from verse 9. Statement, verse from verse 9. The centurion answered, and Jesus said, verse 7 says, and Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal thee. Verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he what? He goes. And I say to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. He does it. Listen to this. When Jesus heard this, he marveled. I'm getting a little bit of when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them, to his disciples, to the people around him that followed him, verily, most truly I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in the church, not in Israel. Let's look at Israel and the church. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east, the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So I want you to take note of that. Let's read another scripture for time. We're going to cover quite a few things. Let's open to Matthew chapter 7, just a page before. Matthew 7, let's read verse, we'll put all this together. Matthew 7, let's read from 21 to 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he personalized it, but he that what? Doeth the will, everybody say the will, the will of my Father which is in heaven. Only those who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Listen to verse 22. Verse 22 says, many, not few, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in what? Thy name. So we're talking about people in church. In thy name. And in thy name have cast out what? Devils. Demons. And in thy name done many, not few, many wonderful works, miracles. And then, amazing statement. This is Jesus speaking. And then will I profess unto them, I never, not that I knew you sometimes, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that what? Work iniquity or lawlessness, disobedience. Basically, lawlessness means disobedient. So, when you hear a quaking, shocking statement like this, who is going to be saved then? What does it mean? What is it saying? Now, the two scriptures I read to you, if you put that together, they are very weighty. The first one talks about how authority is linked to faith. And Jesus don't have to be there. The words make things happen. And how Jesus here now, the second one, is talking about the only thing that will bring us into the kingdom of God is those who do the will of God. Now he talks about people who are operating in great power, great ministry, but he's talking about the will of God is what brings you finally to heaven. And he says, you that walk iniquity, lawlessness, disobedience. So what does this mean coming out of the mouth of the Lord? So in understanding the weight of the kingdom and the mystery of the kingdom, as the disciples were watching him pray and things were happening, miracles were taking place, they asked him, teach us how to do this. Teach us how to pray. So it's in that revelation of teach us how to pray that Jesus gave what led to the theme of our gathering. He said, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, my holy God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So for Jesus to tell them that this should be their mindset, their foundation for prayer, then you understand why he's saying there is no excuse for what he said in Matthew 7 and also in the other scripture. So, what does this scripture, how does these two scriptures lead us to understanding the weight of the kingdom of God seeking to enforce the will of God on earth? How does that link together? First and foremost, Abraham mentioned a lot about that and the other teachers. Luke 17, you read from verse 20 to 22. The Bible makes it clear that the kingdom of God cannot be seen physically with human eyes. So the kingdom of God does not come with outward observation. But the kingdom of God is in your midst, is within you, and is upon you, because God is a spirit, and those who worship him worship in spirit and truth. So the kingdom of God is an invisible kingdom, but has physical signs and manifestations of the kingdom. For example, the reason Jesus says the kingdom of God is in your midst, is in upon you, so in you, Luke 7:17, is this. In the physical, with our two eyes, we only believe what we see. And we only act on what we believe. So with our physical eyes, I can see you, you can see me. So you believe I'm here, you're there. So with our physical eyes, the kingdom of this world rules, the world we live in, we is established by what you see, you know, in the physical. So Jesus was saying here, when the Pharisees were trying to ask him, he says, the kingdom I have come to talk about, the kingdom I've come to represent, you can see with your physical eyes. So it's a kingdom that is only accessible by faith. With our faith, it's impossible to please him. Amen? So basically means it's a kingdom you believe, not by seeing it physically, but by seeing it spiritually. So like if you said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3. He cannot see unless you're born again. So then that means it's possible. The way I'm seeing you physically, it's very possible to understand this kingdom of God, to see it spiritually. So, but that's not where we're going. But the kingdom of God is accessible by faith. So if you are sitting in this room physically, what gives you the power to say you are alive right now, you are a living person in this place, that you're not dead, is because of the oxygen you breathe. Do you see it? Physically, you don't really see the oxygen, but if I go, you know, I can activate, and you know, oxygen is here. You're hearing me through this microphone because of the medium of oxygen. So, through oxygen, I am standing here physically, but I can't touch it, I can't hold it, I can't do anything, I can't, but I don't doubt that it's oxygen. I believe it because it's here. And it's not a feeling, but if I make a lot of loud noise, I put a big fan here, it can blow and you can feel the wind, you know? But you don't need all that for me to convince you that you're living by oxygen. So Jesus is saying there is a spiritual breath that represents the life of the kingdom of God. And when that breath is in your midst, you don't see it, but it's in your midst, it's in you, it's upon you. It's only when you're born again, you realize the born again person exists by the breath of heaven, the bath. Amen? So the physical oxygen is an illustration of you living physically, but the spiritual oxygen called the Holy Ghost, which is a manifestation of the kingdom of God. Amen? So now, having that understanding, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word, W-O-R-D, the Word was with God. And the Word was what? God. So basically God and His Word are what? One. Amen? So God and His Word are what? One. So now, if you go further to read John 1:14, it says, and the Word became flesh. And did what? And dwelt among us. Amen? Who was that Word? Jesus. Amen? He's incorruptible Word. The Word that God became flesh. So when Jesus came, he says, the kingdom of God is here. But he did not understand, because he was a manifestation of that in his time. So when Jesus left, he sent the Spirit of God that now represents the manifestation, the breath of heaven. Amen? And it's here. We don't need a wind, we don't need an earthquake, we don't need fire for us to believe the Holy Spirit is here. Just like oxygen. So now, why will Jesus say, will you pray for the kingdom of God to be effected, to be effective? It has to, the weight of the kingdom is to introduce, to empower, to enforce the will of God on earth. Why is that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Why is that the key for that prayer? It's really the key for the prayer. Why is it the key for the prayer? So let's begin to look at a few pictures. I want to use a few pictures to paint, to give us an example, and we'll start putting this together. In the Old Testament, certain things happen. But I want to just mention before we go into, certain things happen. One particular example I want to use, and then we'll go deeper, is the life of Abraham. God spoke and told Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. Nations will come out of you. Amen? So God and His Word are one. So God is already spoken. Amen? Now, the kingdom of God has now declared something that is already finished. Everything that comes out of the mouth of God is already a finished work. So God says, Abraham, you are going to be father of nations. God already knows the end from the beginning. So now, Abraham received that word, but it took a little bit, with humans, it took a little bit of time. It wasn't coming to pass. And after a while, Sarah and Abraham were going through the delusion, the pain, the reproach of many years of waiting, nothing has happened. So Sarah said, you know, I can't give birth anymore. So it's what we have received might not be through me. Let's try another way. So Abraham has the capacity to give birth. So they brought Hagar, Sarah's servant, and guess what? Through Sarah's servant, Abraham gave birth to his child called Ishmael. Amen. So now Abraham was excited. The promise has come. The will of God is done now. God has spoken, has come to pass. So until God visited Abraham and says, that's not my will. It is your will. It is your efforts. It is your plan. But it looked really good when they planned it, and it came to pass. But they were happy, rejoicing, the thing has come to pass. Until God told Abraham in Genesis 7, he says, that's not my will. What I have promised you will come true, Sarah. Abraham laughed. But you see, God has already spoken what is finished. So now, God's will came to pass. And who is God's will? Isaac. So in the natural, Abraham has the ability to deliver. But they came up with man's plan. The will of man, the plan of man. It manifested what they wanted, but it was not the will of God. So you see, God's will is already being finished in heaven. And God already told Abraham, as it is in heaven, I have spoken into your destiny. So it's going to come to pass as it is in heaven. Just wait for it. But then in man's idea, God is wasting time. The womb is dead. God is not going to do it. It's beyond God's power. So in his understanding, let's help God do something. So by helping God, they produce the will of man. So Isaac came through a womb that was dead to show that the will of God cannot be limited. The will of God is a finished thing. So guess what this means now? So the will of God as it is in heaven is Isaac. The will of man is Ishmael. But listen carefully. It's not so much the will of man. It was Satan's strategy. It was a strategy through the pressure of man trying to help God manifest his will, and the devil gave her a strategy. And some thoughts came from somewhere, and she received it as wisdom. And that's how Ishmael was born. Till today, Ishmael is a problem. So, but God in his mercy brought forth Isaac and says, told Sarah now, let the bondwoman child go. That's not my will. My destiny will come to Isaac and then later Jacob and Israel. So that's one picture of why it's important to pray. And let me pause here and say, when we have been called as God's servants, God's children, God's ministers, this is why Jesus says, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. In other words, God, your kingdom will only support that which is of your will. So that's one illustration. But here is a deeper and a more fearful why Jesus says, pray the will of God until it's clear is the will of God. Here's the next level, and it's very, very serious. Why? Jesus will say, many will come to me in that day. Lord, Lord, we have prophesied, we have done this, we've done great works. And he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, workers of iniquity. That's serious. So let's take it from again Matthew 8, 9. A soldier, a military man in the natural, a centurion. Jesus, people came and they were very pleased with what this man has done, and they wanted him to come and heal the man's servant. On his way, they sent people. And while Jesus was coming, he sent people to him. He says, please, don't bother to come all the way to my roof. I'm a man that understands authority. I'm a soldier. I know what authority is. I say to this, do this, go, come, do this, and they do it. So I know you are a man under authority. You are a man of authority. You can just speak the word, my servant will be okay. So again, here is a man using a natural understanding of a principle to understand how the spiritual kingdom works. So here, Jesus marveled, and everything here is very important. He marveled, he said, I have never in Israel heard or seen such faith. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And in Hebrews, he said, everything, every exploit, every great thing that's been done was done by faith. So here, Jesus connects authority with faith. Let's put it this way. He says, I have never seen such great faith in Israel. But the man was not talking about faith. The man simply said, you speak the word. Because what you are going to speak is because you are a man submitted to authority. And though you appear natural, I see you, but I know that the kingdom you operate from is spiritual. And when you speak, you don't need to be physically here. What you speak, your servants will take care of my business. Why? I understand authority. Why? How does authority lead to faith, which is spiritual? And how does faith and authority link to the prayer of thy will be done? The link is this. Everybody has said it over and over. You cannot operate in a domain called a kingdom without a jurisdiction and the very judge or the leader without a king. You can never have a kingdom without a king. So it's been well said here. So we have a kingdom that is sovereign, that is spiritual, but it's also, he says, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The Lord and all that belongs to this invisible kingdom. So if the earth belongs to God and it rains from heaven, why do we have to now pray, your kingdom, your will be done? Because now Jesus says the kingdom is here. He said it here after Pentecost, the kingdom is here. So why is our prayer important for the will where the shift comes? Because we see what God was teaching us through the life of Abraham. So what has happened is this. In Ezekiel 28, you can read that later, and in Isaiah 14, this whole thing about the will of God was unfolded. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God and His Word are one. Whatever God says is who He is, and is sovereign, and is light. The Word of God is light. So here, God established authority in heaven. And He reigns as the sovereign creator, as the maker, and is over all. And so after establishing authority and putting people in their areas of jurisdiction, then He gave them power. Everybody say power. He empowered them. And one of the leaders of this group in Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, his name is Lucifer. Lucifer, in Ezekiel 28, obviously God said he was made perfectly. He was made perfectly. He was great. Everything God did, he was perfect. And he was empowered. So he had power. But what happened? What did we just read Jesus said in Matthew 7? He says, you workers of iniquity. What is the workers of iniquity? Is lawlessness. What is lawless? Disobedient. So Lucifer in Ezekiel 28, God says, everything was beautiful. You have everything, the wisdom, everything. But now, iniquity was found in you. Lawlessness. What is Lucifer started disobeying the word of God. The word of God and the will of God are one. So Lucifer disobeyed. Another word for disobedience is rebellion. He rebelled against the order of authority. And when he disobeyed, how does he disobey? He coveted a different position and used his power to violate the atmosphere of heaven and cause other angels to follow his disobedience. And because of that disobedience, he was cast out from light. Now we get a little bit deeper. Lucifer, his gifts were not taken from him because he was in him, given to him. The gifts of God are the manifestation of power, spiritual gifts, power. So power was not taken from Lucifer, but he lost his authority. Authority is the ability to have a legal right to something. You can lose something legally, but you still have the ability and the power of that particular ministry or office or power.